Welcome to Hey Julia Woods podcast. I'm your host, Julia Woods, founder of Beautiful Outcome, a coaching company focused on helping couples learn to see and understand each other, even in the most difficult conversations. On my podcast, I will share with you the real and raw of the messiness and amazingness of marriage. I'll share with you aspects of my relationship and the couples I coach in a way that you can see yourself and find the tools that you need to build the marriage you long for.
My life was despairing. I had everything I thought that defined success. We had our dream home. Our business was taking us around the world. I was married to my best friend. We had four beautiful children, taking amazing vacations. The problem was, I believed my value and worth came from what others thought of me. I wanted to be the best wife, the best mom, the best entrepreneur. I was driving myself 24/7 to be more. I expected perfection of myself and others. My last and first thought of every day was my to-do list. I was a slave to it. I was miserable. My husband was depressed, and I could not seem to figure out how to help him stop being depressed. My kids were resisting what I thought was best for them. And I felt hollow. I felt like a hollow shell of myself. I was numb. I went to a funeral of someone I really cared about and I couldn't cry. I realized I rarely laughed. I was lonely, empty, and just trying to make it through another day on the hamster wheel. Now, I had grown up watching my grandmother, and I couldn't understand how you could be that miserable in life. And yet, shortly after turning 40, I could see I was becoming her. I knew very quickly that was not the future I wanted. And somehow, I kind of knew that I was the problem. My life was driven by whatever it is I am. If a client was happy with their work, life was great and I was wonderful. If a client was unhappy with their order, I was terrible and the sky was falling. If my husband was upset, it must be because of me. If my kids didn't like what I said, I must not be being a good mom. Life jerked me around like a dog on a chain. I took things that were said and done extremely personally. I was easily offended. I grew more and more bitter and resentful, and I hated my humanness. I hated that I was bitter and resentful. I hated that I couldn't just be happy all the time. My despair was significant. And the biggest shocker is I was completely blinded to it. I didn't even realize most days that I was miserable. Soren Kierkegaard said that people settle for a level of despair they think they can tolerate and call it happiness. I literally was convincing myself I was happy. I just thought everything else was the problem. I thought I was happy, and everyone else was the reason I wasn't happy. I thought my husband was the problem. If he would just get happy or help more around the house or be more romantic or more patient, then I wouldn't be upset. If my kids would just do what I said, then I wouldn't yell and be a terrible mom. Or if we could just get to the next $100,000 of revenue in our business, then I wouldn't need to work so hard and I wouldn't be stressed out. I couldn't see that I was the problem until September of 2029. Now, let's back up 2 years prior to that, to 2007. My husband and I had a business together and we were on the top levels of success. And yet he was not enjoying work. He wasn't wanting to come to work. He was avoiding it. He wasn't doing his work. And so we decided to hire a career coach who would hopefully help him get re-engaged and help me get back to my happy old self-deception of life working perfectly well. At the end of the second or third session, she stood up and she said, "I'm done here. And Julia, would you read the book Codependent No More by Melody Beatley?" I was shocked. I was like, what? We hired you to come here and help my husband, and nothing's changed. He's not engaged or ready to do work. And you're asking me, the one who's doing it all so well, to read a book. Well, I decided to take her up on her word. I was that desperate to find a new way take her up on her recommendation. And so I started reading the book. I was a very slow reader at that time. I didn't want to read the book. I was angry at what I was reading. But gradually, it began to break my self-deception. And I started to recognize that maybe I was actually the one contributing. And maybe I actually was in despair. So fast forward a couple years after that, and we got to the fall of 2009, and I just was in utter despair of how amazingly beautiful my life was, and yet how miserable internally I was. And it just felt hopeless. I felt like I had been so good. I had tried so hard to do everything just right. How could my life have gotten to this point of being such a mess? And so I just decided to get very, very honest about how angry I was with God. How had I tried working so hard to be such a good person? And now I was realizing I was pretty miserable, and my life, I didn't have much hope about where and how to make things different. And in that moment, I had a pretty significant encounter with God, if you will. Like, it was just, I felt like he spoke audibly to me in a way I'd never heard before. And in what he said to me, he helped me see that I was my own worst enemy. It was my thoughts and my beliefs that were leading me into my own despair. I knew I needed some new thinking. I needed to see and think about life differently. So I asked God how he wanted, I started asking God how he wanted to spend time with me. And I started doing that at the beginning of each day. And the first thing is I began to sit outside and just write about the things I was grateful for. And then that gradually turned into starting to learn to listen to my thoughts and question the things I was telling myself. I began to wrestle with whether what I was telling myself was true or not, and what could be more true than the things I'd been telling myself. The Codependent No More book helped me really become aware of how much I enabled. And I stopped enabling. I stopped enabling my husband and stopped enabling my kids. And through that, it began to get clear that my husband was just not happy in the business that we owned anymore. And so he left the business. And I continued growing my ability to live life through my heart rather than my head. I started getting connected to my heart and getting off the hamster wheel and actually questioning what it was that I wanted, focusing on my future more than focusing on my past. Daily, I started doing things that made my heart come alive, like gardening and watching the sun rise and the sunset and reading. And I began to transition my business from being a jack of all trades to really only focusing on what I wanted to do, which took me from a life of working 70 to 80 hours a week down to working 24 hours a week. And I began to get pretty happy inside. I began to become a pretty joyful person again. So my life internally was getting better. I was getting stronger. But on the outside, life was getting harder. My husband's suffering was increasing. I wasn't enabling anymore. And I had stopped making excuses for him when he didn't want to go places and let people ask him questions. I stopped picking up the pieces when he didn't do what he said he would do. And I left the pieces for him to pick up himself. I stopped doing everything around the house and let him pick up his own messes. I stopped correcting him when he said things that I knew weren't the way they really were, but I let him take responsibility for what he wanted to say and what he wanted, you know, people to think. He started blaming me for his suffering. He was facing reality and he didn't like it. I was changing the system that we had built of codependency in our marriage, and it wasn't easy for him to be abruptly awakened to how much he hadn't been taking care of for himself. He looked for bigger ways to numb. And just happened, a female came confiding in him about her marriage problems, and it began turning into the classic tale. He started to feel needed and important to her. The newness of sneaking texts and finding times to connect created some momentary moments of aliveness. And before long, it began crossing the line. And then he told me there was another woman. And I couldn't wrap my head around it. How in the world had we gotten here? My 2 years of self-discovery and healing was vital to what began to unfold from that moment forward. I immediately went to attentively listening to my heart. He told me late at night when we were heading to bed, and I didn't sleep that night. I cried through the night and just kept listening to my heart. I kept asking myself, what was it? What did I need? What was I going to do? What did I want? And the next morning when the house got up about 8 hours later, I was clear on one thing. I knew there was one thing that was more important to me than anything else, and that was healing. I had spent the last 2 years healing. I had spent the last 2 years freeing my heart of bitterness and resentment, and I refused to go backwards. And so I knew no matter what, I needed to find a way to heal. And my heart told me we needed to go see some friends of ours, a couple that we were good friends with. And I just knew I needed to go see them. So I asked my husband, I told him, I said, hey, here's what I need. I need us to go together to see these friends. And much to my surprise, he agreed. And we went. And within minutes of being at their house, I knew that my heart had known what I could not have known. Our friends had wisdom beyond their years. And we'd never talked about infidelity. We'd never talked about any of these kind of things, but somehow my heart knew they were the couple that would give us some very, very vital wisdom. The gentleman, the husband, took my husband and they went off for a while by themselves. And that was a very powerful moment. I would later find out that he told my husband that he had not told me everything, and that if he had any hope of this marriage surviving, he would need to tell me everything. When they came back, we all gathered around to talk, and he asked me a question no other human had ever asked me. And he asked me what it was that I needed. And I sat there and I took that question seriously. The first thing that popped in my mind is, I don't know. I knew that that was not my heart talking. That was my head talking. So I sat with my heart for a minute. And as I sat there and got really honest, I knew without a doubt I needed to heal for me and my kids. And I didn't know if I wanted to stay married, but I was clear that I wanted to heal. And that brought me to the next two things my heart told me. And it was, I needed my husband to leave our home so that I could heal. I didn't know how long I needed him to heal how long I needed him to go or what that would look like. I had no idea where he was going to go. I didn't know. I just knew I needed him to heal, and I wasn't going to cover or make excuses for him. I needed him to tell our kids why he was leaving. Now, when my heart told me those two things, I thought, there is no way. There is no way my husband is going to agree to either of those. However, I chose to follow my heart. And much to my surprise, he honored both requests. He later told me that those two things brought him to his knees. Again, my heart knew what I had no idea it knew. When he left that morning, my head was overrun with fear and doubt. I thought that he might go to her. I thought that, you know, I may never see him again. I had no idea what was going to happen for him. I knew that all I had control over was me, and that's what I needed to focus on. I needed to focus on my healing. And I decided to accept whatever unfolded from there. Whatever choices he made, that would just be more of knowing and helping me get clear on what I needed. So I cleared my work schedule for the next few weeks, and I followed my heart one step at a time. A few years later, I would read Jordan Peterson's book where he said that finding out about infidelity is like entering the horror of the underworld. I resonated deeply with those words because that's what I lived. Once I started stepping into my healing and really facing what I was feeling, what I was thinking, what I was so angry about, what I was so hurt by, it was the horrors of the underworld. The deepest work would come in the middle of the night. I would fall off to sleep, and within an hour or two, I would wake up often crying, and I would pray and I would ask God, what did he want to talk to me about? He graciously led me through getting honest about the repeating pattern of men being untrustworthy throughout my life. He walked me through forgiving each betrayal, starting with my father as a young girl. I had never considered before that point that I had carried that bitterness and resentment towards each of those men into my marriage. And as a form of self-deception, I decided at an extremely young age that it was best for me to believe that men were just not trustworthy. And relationship after relationship, from teacher to coach to boyfriend, I had made myself right in each interaction that men were just not trustworthy. And now, as I face the biggest betrayal of all, it seemed 100% true. However, as I walked through forgiving each of these men, the scales fell off my eyes, and I began to see that there was more to the story than I'd ever been willing to look at before. There was my contribution to how each of those feelings, those moments of betrayal, had turned out. The biggest thing I could see that I had contributed is the moment each of these men did the slightest thing that seemed distrustful, I blamed, shamed, and criticized them. I didn't ask questions because I didn't have any interest in knowing or understanding anything about what was happening for them. I actually just wanted to be right, that men couldn't be trusted. So no conversations happened. No discovery happened. I had no idea if potentially I had misunderstood something or what might have brought them to do what they did. I had seen that this had been the same pattern I brought into my marriage. It was like I was watching and waiting for my husband to mess up so I could be right that he wasn't trustworthy. My overreactions and lack of openness made it more tempting for him to hide things. This experience of walking through that forgiveness over the first few weeks was significant in the freedom my heart began to feel over the weeks that followed. Now, during that time, while I was working through looking at myself and my contributions and who I had become as I got bitter and resentful towards men in my life, my husband was facing his own healing at the same time. Three different times in that first week after his initial confession and I had asked him to leave the house, he reached out and asked if he could meet with me. And he confessed more things each time we met that he was realizing that he had hidden in our 20 years of marriage. And while it was excruciating to keep learning of new varying levels of infidelity that I would need to decide if I could forgive, it was actually a deep expression of love, a kind of love I'd never seen from my husband in 20 years. I knew he didn't need to keep confessing. He could have kept it to himself. However, I saw his fierce commitment to, in total honesty, so that I could heal and so that he could heal. He confessed until he felt there was absolutely nothing hidden. Both of our honesty, the honesty we were each being brutally honest with ourselves, and then choosing to be honest with each other. It began to set us free in ways we had never experienced freedom before. Over the next 3 months, we developed a relationship and a way of communicating I had never, ever known existed, and it had never been a way we had ever communicated. We stayed separated, and my husband asked me if he could date me. We started very, very slow. A lot of hurt came up. A lot of things got triggered that produced more work that I needed to do and more work that he needed to do. And yet every text, every phone call, every conversation, every moment of frustration, every disappointment, every moment that suffering was triggered, it was different. We were each focused on ourselves and who we wanted and needed to be to have the relationship we wanted. A few months in, my husband asked me if I would marry him again. That was a very big decision. We knew that we had a lot more healing to do, and yet we knew that we could keep doing the work because of who we were becoming. So we renewed our marriage vows on our 20th wedding anniversary with a few friends and our kids. And the friend who my heart had told me we needed to talk to when my husband confessed was the one who officiated the renewal. My husband, Jeff, we moved back in and our healing continued. The hard work continued. Within a few weeks of that, some difficult circumstances came into our lives. And over the next month or two, it got really hard. My husband started slipping back into depression as he returned to some of his old stories and some of his old beliefs. And I got really scared. I was scared that maybe it wasn't real what we had experienced. And yet I decided to keep following my heart. I decided to do everything I could to not slip back to the old things I had been doing. So I was open and I was honest with people, not everyone, just the people who I had cultivated a close community with. And as I shared the reality of what we were facing with a friend, he shared with me about this 4-day transformational event in California called the Revenant. My husband and I decided to go. And to say that Revenant was transformational is an understatement. It was a 4-day event led by our mentors, Dan and Eileen Tacchini. And I went to this event hoping that this would help my husband change. And what happened for me is hard to put into words, and yet I'm going to do my best to articulate it. For me, the most powerful thing I saw in that room was love. I saw love for the first time. I saw Dan and Eileen risking themselves and showing up and willing to have conversations and willing to invite questioning really powerful discoveries for each person in that room. I saw what responsibility is on a whole new level. I saw significant ways that I was blocking the connection I was longing for by being jerked around, like I had mentioned earlier, that I was like, whatever it is, I am. If someone else was upset, then it must be because I was a problem. And all these ways that I kept playing small as I lived that way. And what it helped me unfold, what it helped me see available was a future full of possibilities if I was willing to risk and be who I was committed to be, regardless of the circumstances. Learning to be who I was committed to be and am committed to be is what Jeff and I needed to continue our healing. After attending Revenant, Jeff never returned to depression after that event. And that was 11 years ago. It woke both of us up, this power and this capacity that we had within ourselves, that we were discovering to make a difference. What can happen when you really put yourself at stake, when you really are willing to risk for loving? We went home and we loved each other in new ways. We showed up with our kids. We began having conversations we'd never been willing to have before. We began to ask questions we'd been too scared to ask. And what continued to unfold was deeper levels of development, deeper growth, deeper awareness of the power of who we can be when we let things like love and generous listening and curiosity flow through us in a way that makes a difference for someone else. In that summer of 2013, I was talking to God very tearfully, thanking him for what he had done and what had transformed in my life over those 4 years, from the prayer of 2009 when I was angry about the despair of my life to 4 years later, where I was experiencing outcomes that were beyond anything I'd ever known were possible. I felt more alive than I'd ever felt in my life. And what I said in that prayer that day was, God, you've taken the ashes of my life and you've created a beautiful outcome. And if there's any way I could stand with other individuals or couples to help them walk through that, I would love to do that. And that morning I was sharing with Jeff what had happened and what I had talked to God about. And Jeff said, beautiful outcome. That's important. And he bought the domain name. And I was like, what are you doing? I'm a photographer. I love what I do. I'm going to do this until I'm too old to do it. But he continued in his journey and he bought the domain name. And about 3 months later, a tornado came through the town where the photography studio was, and it took out 1,000 homes all around the studio. And it was very powerful to sit with my clients and hear their stories and have them share how much changed for them in an instant as they lost everything, many of them in that tornado. And it really brought me to think about life and how short life is. And was I really living fully alive in every area, or was there more possible? And so there's this poem called The Dash. And what the writer is describing is how on our tombstone, we have the year we were born and we have the year that we leave this earth. And then there's a dash in between. And what do you want that dash to represent? And so my husband and I decided to do this project where individually we would each vision and we would each dream about that dash. Where in our life were we living by limits or stops that we had created? And what could our life look like if we lived it fully alive? About 2 months later, we were getting ready to, we were going to be going on a romantic trip in California. And so we decided to hold that special time together as the time we would share our dashes with each other. And it blew our minds because we had both risked in our dreams, and our dreams felt too big. They felt so much bigger than we were. And we were really scared because if our spouse had a totally different dream, then we were going to have some very interesting, uncomfortable conversations. But much to our surprise, when we shared our visions with each other, they were so extremely aligned. For some reason, both of us had this sense that we were needing to be in California, like our bodies were wanting to be in California. And we both knew that we were wanting to do something different. I was the vision for coaching and inviting couples into this transformation was really burning deep in my heart. And so we left that trip knowing that these dreams were bigger than us, and there was really no way on our own accord we were going to bring these about. And so we just decided, we're going to see what happens. But if this is possible, we want to make this pop. We want to walk it out. And so within a week of being home, I knew that I needed to sell our business. My heart was telling me it's time to sell the business and it's time to sell the home. And when I shared it with Jeff, he was like, "Are you crazy? This is our livelihood. This is where we live." And I said, "I know. It's crazy. It sounds crazy. But what I've come to learn over the last 4 years is that my heart knows what I don't. And would you be willing to risk with me? Would you be willing to take one step? I know that the first step is I need to call this one person and talk to them about selling my business. And if that goes nowhere, we'll know I was just crazy. But if that occurs and then the next step comes, I'm willing to take the next step. Are you willing to take the next step with me?" And he said yes. And so I made that phone call, and within 2 weeks, I had a buyer to buy my business. And a week after that, 3 weeks in, my husband completely unexpectedly got a job offer in California. So we moved to California, and that I immediately started a coaching program to become a certified transformational coach with Dan and Eileen Tacchini, who had led that 4-day event. And as soon as I graduated in January of 2015, I started my coaching company, Beautiful Outcome. I knew that I wanted to walk with individuals and couples to discover who they are and who they're committed to be, and learn to let themselves, their hearts lead them, to learn how to communicate in a way that creates the deep connection that they long for, and to take 100% responsibility for growing the relationships they long for by being who they're committed to be. And in the last 8 years since I started this company, I have done thousands of hours of coaching calls and helped hundreds and hundreds of individuals and couples transform their lives, their marriages, and their legacy. It is a work that is so much bigger than I am. It is so clear to me that this was birthed in me, and every single event that happened in my life, including the despairing tragedies, have all worked together to bring me to this powerful opportunity to help couples transform their lives and transform their marriages. My deepest desire is to reverse the current statistic on the divorce rate in a way that it moves from currently 40% back to 35% by working with one couple at a time and helping couples through the various ways that I do that are through online courses and in-person couples workshops, one-on-one coaching calls. I have a YouTube channel, podcast like what you're listening to now, a blog, and a lot of other resources. And so this is how I became a transformational coach and how I shifted from living out, you know, whatever it is I am, to living out of becoming who it is that I'm committed to be, one moment at a time. I would love to hear what has occurred for you through my story, if it connected for you, if there's something that it's inspired in you, if there's something new that has sparked that you want to work with me on. I would love to hear what's happened for you. The best way to reach me is through my Instagram, which is at Hey Julia Woods. So Hey Julia Woods is my Instagram channel. My DMs are always open. I would just love to connect with you. And I also would love to give you a free gift today to help you begin this journey. It's called 100 Deeper Connection Prompts and Ideas, and it will give you 100 different conversation starters and playtime starters to begin to open up deeper connection through playing and chatting with your spouse or your partner. So if you want that gift, you can find the details in the video underneath this podcast episode in the description, or you can also DM me on Instagram, the word connect, and I will get you the link to access your copy. So thank you for listening. And if I can leave you with one final thought by Joseph Campbell, the cave you fear to enter holds the treasure that you seek. If there is a deeper connection that you long for with yourself, with the people that you love, would you risk entering that cave and facing the honest work of who you really are and who you want to become in order to develop the connections you long for with the people that you love? Thank you.